Listen carefully as Adrian Rogers shares the message behind the miracles of Jesus.
Jesus is not merely in the healing business. Had Jesus been a great healer, he would have gone from place to place, from person to person, and healed them all. But he just healed this one man. And Jesus healed this one man to get a message across to all of us who feel that we need spiritual strength, because spiritually, as we're going to see in a moment, by nature we are paralyzed and without strength. In Christ, we have power for living. Jesus is God's answer to man's spiritual disability.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the profound yet practical teaching of Pastor Adrian Rogers. One of the great questions of life is not what will happen to our bodies. Rather, do we have that inner strength God wants us to have? When Jesus came to Bethesda in John chapter 5, he miraculously healed one man. The healing of this man's body speaks of a greater unseen miracle. We are spiritually paralyzed, but in Christ, we have supernatural strength for living. If you have your Bible, turn now to John 5 as Adrian Rogers shares how Jesus is God's answer to man's disability.
As you know, we are in a series of messages on the miracles of Christ. And the theme is that you're to believe in miracles, but you're to trust in Jesus. I hope that gets into your heart. Now, John, in the Gospel of John, lists seven miracles. And he says, these seven miracles are given that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing that you might have life through his name. So they are miracles with a meaning, miracles with a message, signs with a significance. When Jesus turned water into wine, that tells us that Jesus is God's answer to man's disappointments. When Jesus healed the nobleman's son who doubted, Jesus is God's answer to man's doubt. Tonight, we're going to see that Jesus is God's answer to man's disability. One of my friends that I've had in past years was a man named Paul Anderson. Paul Anderson was the strongest man in the world, literally. If you met Paul, you would meet a man 5 feet, 10 1/2 inches tall. Not very tall, but he weighed 375 pounds. His neck measured 23 1/2 inches around. How'd you like to buy a shirt for a man like that? He had a 23 1/2 inch neck, 22 1/2 inch upper arms. His arms were like coconuts. Had a 50-inch chest, 35-inch thighs. Many of you are not 35 inches around the waist. He was 35 inches around the thighs, 20 inches around the calves. I often heard Paul give his testimony, and people would ask him, were you ever once a 97-pound weakling? He said, yes, when I was 4 years old. Just a big man. Had incredible strength. Paul Anderson, back in 1955, went to Moscow. He's virtually unheard of. The Russians held all the titles and the major titles in weightlifting. And Paul Anderson there bested them all, and he astounded them as he won the world championship in weightlifting. And the Russian announcer said that he was a wonder of nature. Later on, Paul Anderson began to do feats of strength. On an occasion, he lifted 6,270 pounds off the ground with his back, more than 3 tons. This man lifted that weight with his own body. He's in the Guinness World Book of Records, and according to them, that is the greatest weight ever lifted by a human being. He was a stellar athlete and an even more stellar Christian. He had a kidney failure. He died at 61 years of age, and he wound down to the grave. Strongest man on earth, but he died. And if Jesus doesn't come, so are you going to die, no matter how much strength you have. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. That's us, folks. All human strength will utterly, ultimately fail. But the Bible says, though our outward man perish, our inward man, the real man, is renewed day by day by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our great problem, therefore, is not what is going to happen to our bodies, but the great question is this: do we have that inner strength that God wants us to have? Now, this miracle that we're going to study tonight is going to tell us how to have that kind of strength. And I want you to open your Bibles, please, if you will, to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 1. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. By the way, that means house of mercy, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. That means they had no strength. They were without power. That's what the word impotent means, without power. A blind, halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who he was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, let me give you the background here. It takes place at a pool called the Pool of Bethesda. And that literally means at the House of Mercy. If you've been to Israel, as some of us have, it's just right outside or right inside the Sheep Gate, where Stephen was stoned. And you go to this place, this pool, it is still there. Actually, it's about 40 feet below street level now, where this miracle took place. God, the Lord Jesus, showed his mercy to this poor man who had been sick for 38 years. Now, it was something like a health spa, and all around on these porches are sick people, some of them with withered limbs, some of them were blind. Some of them had maladies that perhaps you may be afflicted with, but only worse. They were there hoping for a miracle. And yearly, when the water would bubble up, God in His mercy would perform a miracle, and whoever stepped into the water would be healed. Now, Jesus came there. It was on a feast day. And he went to one particular man. There were many there, but Jesus chose one. This man had been waiting in line for 38 years. At least he had been sick, paralyzed, and invalid for 38 years. I don't know how long, really, he had been there at the Pool of Bethesda, but for a long time, waiting in line, trying to inch closer and closer to the water that he might be in the water, the first in the water, and to be healed. And Jesus asks him a profound but a very simple question. Do you want to be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? That's a question not only was Jesus asking that man. Now that's a question Jesus is asking you. Jesus is not merely in the healing business. He only healed one there. The Bible says there were a great multitude there. Had Jesus been a great healer, he would have gone from place to place, from person to person, and healed them all. But he just healed this one man. Because what he is doing here is a miracle with a message, he's teaching a greater spiritual truth. As a matter of fact, after he healed this one man, we're going to learn that Jesus just silently, almost stealthily, slipped away. Had he stayed there, they would have clamored after him. All of the people would have come to him to be healed, but he did not come as the great healer. He came as the Savior, and these miracles were given that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing that we might have life through His name. And so, I want you to learn again what I'm saying, that we need to go beyond miracles and on to Jesus. We believe in miracles, but we trust in Jesus. G. Campbell Morgan was a great preacher and teacher of another year. G. Campbell Morgan said something very significant about the miracles of Jesus. G. Campbell Morgan said that every parable that Jesus taught was a miracle of instruction, and every miracle that Jesus wrought was a parable of instruction. Now, he didn't mean that the miracles were not real, but that there is a miraculous message in the miracle. The very word for miracle here in the Gospel of John is the word sign. It means it has a significance. The first four letters in the word significance are signs. These are miracles with a message. So Jesus didn't heal everybody that day, but Jesus healed this one man. And Jesus healed this one man to get a message across to all of those of us who feel that we need spiritual strength, because spiritually, as we're going to see in a moment, by nature, we are paralyzed and without strength. In Christ, we have power for living. Jesus is God's answer to man's spiritual disability. Now, let me give you an example that will prove how this miracle is working. The physical healing is only temporary. It's not really all that important. You think it's important that you get healed. I think it's important when I get sick that I get healed, but God probably doesn't think it's nearly as important as we think, because God has a greater plan for us and a different plan for us. Do you remember, and this is not the same story that we're studying now, but in another place in the Gospels, there was a man who was brought to Jesus by four men carrying him on a stretcher. Do you remember that? And Jesus said to this man, "Son, your sins be forgiven." Now, when Jesus said that, people began to murmur and complain and to criticize. They said, in effect, "Just who does he think he is? Who is he to say to that man that his sin is forgiven? Only God can forgive sin." They were right about that. Who does he think he is? And then Jesus said, "That you may know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. Sir, take up your bed and walk." Jesus healed him physically only to give a credibility to the spiritual miracle. Jesus did something that they could see so that they might understand and believe that which they could not see. Do you understand the importance? The important thing to Jesus that day was not healing that man's body. The important thing was forgiving his sin. The healing of the body only attested to the greater unseen spiritual miracle, and so it is with this man. And so, we're going to learn three things tonight that will help us to have powerful living, that will help us to understand in the spiritual realm that Jesus Christ is God's answer for man's disability. Here's the first thing you must do if you would find the strength this man found so long ago. The first thing you must do is to validate your weakness. Validate your weakness. Admit that you're weak. Now look, if you will, in verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. This man really represents you and me without the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, the problem with many of us is we will not admit that we are spiritually paralyzed. We will not validate our own weakness. But let me give you a verse of Scripture to put in the margin. It's Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Listen to it. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly." The Bible describes every man without Christ as being without strength. He's just like this impotent man. That's what the word impotent means. He was without strength. And therefore, he becomes an illustration of every man, woman, boy, and girl without the Lord Jesus. Now, think with me as we're talking about validating your weakness. Think about the primary source of your weakness. Where does your weakness come from? We'll go to verse 14. What was this man's problem? "And afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you." The primary source of this man's weakness was his sin. Now, not everybody is sick because of sin, but this man was. And I think that's the reason that Jesus picked this man out. This man's sin and this man's weakness had a direct connection. And so after Jesus healed him, Jesus said, "Now don't sin again lest something worse happen to you." The point is this, that the primary source of our weakness is sin. We're sinners by birth, sinners by nature, sinners by choice, and sinners by practice. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But now here's something else I want you to see. Not only the primary source of your weakness, but I want you to see the paralyzing force of your weakness. Many of us do not realize that spiritually we are paralyzed. You may say, "Well, I'm not weak. I lift weights. I'm very strong." I'm not talking about physical weakness. You may say, "Well, I'm not weak. I have a PhD. I'm not talking about intellectual weakness. You may say, "I'm not weak. I have $1 million in the bank." I'm not talking about financial weakness. I'm talking about spiritual weakness that has paralyzed you. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Do you know what our weakness is? Our weakness is that we don't have the strength to be godly. We're without strength, so Christ died for the ungodly. What is God's plan for me? What is God's plan for you? God's plan for all of us is that we'd be godly. We don't have the strength to be godly. I don't care how hard you try to be godly, you don't have what it takes to be godly. We are without strength when it comes to being godly. You see, you may be strong to do as you want, but you're not strong to do as you ought. While we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. The primary source of our weakness is sin. The paralyzing force of our sin is that we cannot be what God would have us to be. And now I want you to notice also the persistent course of your weakness. According to verses 5 and 6, this man had been this way for 38 years. Can you imagine being paralyzed, impotent, debilitated, without strength for 38 years? What happens to a man when he's paralyzed for 38 years? His muscles begin to atrophy and to wither. Every year that this man was there, he was not getting better, he was getting worse. His muscle tissue was disintegrating. And so it is with a man, a woman, a boy, a girl without Christ. The longer they live, the worse their condition. That's the reason that no man should put off giving his or her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need to be saved, you ought to be saved tonight, because tomorrow you only have more sin to repent of and less time to repent in. You see, the primary force of his weakness was sin. The paralyzing force is that he cannot be godly, and the persistent course is that it goes on and on and on, but down and down and down. Now, if you would have what this man had, what you must do is validate your weakness. You must say, "God, you're right. You're right. I am without strength. I'll lay my pride in the dust, and I will admit my need. Now, here's the second thing. Not only must you validate your weakness, but you must activate your will. Look in verse 6. Look at it. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? In modern English, will you be made whole? Do you wish to be made whole? What is your will in this matter? Now, let me say to each of us that we must activate our own will. God will never coerce your will. If God were to coerce your will, if your relationship with Him is forced, then you're no longer a man, you're a machine. And God could have no fellowship with a machine. If you want to come to Christ, you may. But if you don't want to come to Christ, He'll not force you. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. But if you don't want to come, there are not enough angels in heaven that God would allow one of them to drag you down this aisle. But if you want to come, there are not enough demons in hell or out of hell or wherever they may be to keep you from coming. God has given you a will. And our Lord says to you, will you be made whole? Now, some theologians react about this matter of human beings having a will. They think that when you talk about the free will of man, that somehow you negate the sovereignty of God. But both the sovereignty of God and the free will of man are both taught in the Scripture. And Jesus spoke to this man, and Jesus said, will you be made whole? And the fact that God respects human will does not negate or denigrate the sovereignty of God at all. And sometimes people build artificial arguments that ought not to be built.
And with that, we'll conclude this portion of the message. Part two is coming up on Monday. We hope you can join us then. But in the meantime, maybe you have a prayer request you'd like to share. At Love Worth Finding, one of our great honors is to come alongside you and pray with you and for you. If you can, go to our website and scroll down to our prayer wall. There you'll discover the option to either submit a prayer request or pray for others, or both. This resource is one of our favorite ways to keep the ministry and the community praying continually for one another's needs. So go to lwf.org/radio and scroll down to our prayer wall today. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD and mention you'd like to order Jesus is God's Answer to Man's Disability. This message is also part of the insightful series Parade of Miracles. For that complete 7-message collection, call 877-LOVE-GOD, or you can order online or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. You can also purchase our new Bible studies, much like this message, in our online store. Now, to start receiving daily devotions and links to the program, be sure to sign up for our daily heartbeat emails. They're so encouraging. Go to lwf.org/radio, and you can sign up right there. We hope you'll join us Monday for the powerful conclusion of Jesus is God's Answer to Man's Disability, right here on Love Worth Finding. We were so encouraged by a listener who reached out recently and said this, I minister in assisted living and nursing homes weekly, and I use Love Worth Finding resources in my ministry as I go. I tell others about Love Worth Finding as I go along as well. God bless you all for your ministry of Love Worth Finding to us all from all platforms. Well, here at the ministry, we're passionate about helping you cultivate a vibrant faith in Jesus Christ. And to thank you for your gift of support that helps us do that, we want to send you a copy of the book, Believe in Miracles, but Trust in Jesus. The intention of every miracle in the book of John was to point people to the miracle worker himself, Jesus, the Son of God. In this book, Adrian Rogers shows us how these miracles hold relevance in our lives today. Request it when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD.